Good evening. Thank you very much for coming. We'll start with opening remarks by the Secretary General and President Ghani, and then, of course, they will both be very happy to take a few questions. Secretary General.
Good evening. We have just finished an excellent meeting with the foreign ministers from NATO and with the 14 partners that will contribute to our new mission in Afghanistan. And today we decided to launch the Resolute Support mission on the 1st of January 2015. And this is really a significant moment for us and for Afghanistan. Resolute Support will be a non-combat mission. Around 12,000 troops from NATO allies and partners will train, advise, and assist the Afghan National Security Forces and ensure that we continue to build on the gains we have made in Afghanistan. And therefore, it is very fitting to have the President of Afghanistan here together with us and also together with the Chief Executive, Dr. Abdullah. They were present at the meeting, and they gave introductions, and they also received a very unified and strong response and support from NATO and from the partners, who would very much welcome, or who are welcoming very much the new spirit we see in our partnership, the partnership between NATO and Afghanistan. So I thank you, President, very much for being here and for your remarks and for the partnership we are developing together. I visited Afghanistan last month, and I heard the high hopes of young Afghans for the future, and I saw the determination of the Afghan forces, and I spoke to ISAF soldiers who have taken pride in the work they have done as our combat mission comes to a close. We are really grateful for their service and their sacrifice, men and women, civilian and military, from Afghanistan and from around the world. For more than a decade, NATO allies and partners have stood side by side with Afghanistan in a common cause. ISAF brought together 50 nations in an effort without precedent. Afghanistan is no longer a safe haven for international terrorists. Our nations are safer and Afghanistan is stronger. With a national security force of 350 soldiers and police. Of course, there is still much to do. There are still security challenges and reforms must continue. But the people of Afghanistan now have the chance for a better future. And that future is in their own hands. At the end of this year, Afghan forces will assume full responsibility of the security of the nation. But our support will continue. Our new Resolute Support mission is only part of the picture. Today, we reaffirm that we will continue to contribute to the funding of the Afghan forces for 2015 and beyond. And we will strengthen the NATO-Afghanistan enduring partnership. Today, we agreed to set up a task force to take this enduring partnership forward, and we are going to start that work immediately. We welcome the determination of the National Unity Government to implement urgently needed reforms, to promote good governance, accountability, and human rights, including the rights for women. The Afghan people have chosen the path of peace, democracy, and stability. And we want to preserve the gains we have made together for the benefit of Afghanistan, the whole region, and global peace and security. So, Mr. President, it's a great honor to have you here, and I give the floor to you, please.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Mr. Secretary General, first of all, let me express our sincere appreciation for your visit to Kabul. It was wonderful to have you. But equally, if not more significant, for convening today's meeting. Today's meeting marks a landmark in that NATO in Afghanistan are entering a new phase of a partnership based on mutual sacrifice and accomplishments of the last 10 years. So let me pay tribute both to the sacrifice of NATO men and women in uniform, the wounded, those who paid the ultimate, made the ultimate sacrifice, and the hundreds of thousands of veterans that their lives are marked by our country, and equally by the immense sacrifice that our people, particularly the civilians, have made to make sure that terror has not hit your countries. The relationship has not been one-sided, it's been mutually beneficial. Our commitments, our determination to make sure that we live in peace and security has ensured also global peace and security. So it's been a mission that we have sacrificed and cemented together, and we want to express deep appreciation for all those countries, NATO core members, partner countries, from sending one person to sending tens of thousands. We want to express our appreciation. We are gratified that Resolute support mission has been approved, and the new spirit that marks a cordial dialogue and a sustained focus on problems and on solutions is what we are both committing to. We, the government of national unity, are committed not only to reach to governments and to organizations like NATO and yourself, but to the people who make this commitment possible. Europeans, North Americans, other members, Australians, Japanese, who have provided such generous support, should understand that the government of national unity is committed to fundamental reforms, to owning our destiny, to ensuring that we are in the lead regarding reforms processes, that the speed with which we have moved in the last 2 months is going to be an enduring tempo. We do not expect to become a burden on the international community. Clearly, we, the Afghan leaders, are responsible for our destiny. But given our shared threats and our shared interest, we hope to work with you through the task force on making the enduring partnership a reality. An enduring partnership that would make sure that the commitments that were made in Chicago for the decade of transformation are realized, the accountability and transparency measures that are required would be implemented, and our effort on accomplishment, efficiency, effectiveness, accountability, and transparency will be much more focused than ever desired or can be driven by our international partners. We face challenges because the world is an unsafe place. NATO is to maintain its gaze on many parts of the world, particularly its neighborhood. But we need to understand that in our interconnected world, the threats are also connected. And the threats that join those threats emanate from malign non-state actors, tolerated or supported by state actors. So our fundamental challenge is to ensure that all states fulfill the rights and obligations that are incumbent upon being members of an interconnected international system. NATO would be of immense assistance to this, and affirmation of today provides a foundation. Our goal in Afghanistan is to become a platform, provide a platform for cooperation, regional, Asia-wide, across the Muslim world, and internationally. We will bring together actors in a virtuous circle of relationship that otherwise might seem to have conflicting interests. What we intend not to become is a playing field for proxy wars or for battlefields for illusionary ideas. The people of Afghanistan, let me conclude, want something very simple. A child who leaves school and goes to a playing field to play volleyball and is assured that he is not going to be blown to pieces. A woman, a young woman who goes to college and tells her father, "Dad, I'm working to make sure that you have a retirement that is supported by me and is not blown up by random violence." These are actual cases. This is what we face. I do not want to hold mangled bodies of our children or make continuous calls to the bereaved fathers. People should know, no one can cower an Afghan leader or an Afghan nation to submission. We are determined to master our destiny, to overcome the past. Our Hindu friendship is open to all friendly actors who will join us in a virtuous circle. But all those with ill intentions should understand that here is a determined nation that will not be subdued. Thank you. And thank you for the partnership.
So we've got time for some questions. We can start over there, one TV.
My question is from President Ghani, and I prefer to ask it in Dari, if you don't mind.
Mr. President, as you know, the RSM is going to start, but we see that there have been an increase in the attacks of the insurgents, and you see yourself Kabul, what kind of situation exists in Kabul. So it shows that in case of the full withdrawal of the international forces from the southern parts of Afghanistan, it shows that actually after this withdrawal, the casualties of the international of our forces have become more and more. So do you think, how could you be sure? What are the points that makes you sure that you will be able to provide security with the Afghan forces? The first thing, this is what the president says, the first thing is that the stability of Afghanistan is a need for everybody. And when the international forces are coming out, this is not a political, there is absolutely no political reason that there should be more attacks on the civilian people. The ulama of Afghanistan, all the mosques in Afghanistan, all the scholars, they are in Afghanistan. They say that the civilian people shouldn't be killed. From all the mosques of Afghanistan, there is the voice of calling for peace is raised, and they all call for cooperating with the international with our forces. The other issue, secondly, don't underestimate the morale of our forces. Unfortunately, the media in Afghanistan, most of the time, they don't pay enough attention to the people who are actually providing security for us. As the high command of the forces in Afghanistan, I'm actually proud of them. I am defending every martyr. I'm defending every wounded person. They have great morale. They have great leadership, and the leadership is being changed, being improved. I have accepted the resignation, retirement of 15 generals, and also in the police forces. And there is a coordination, there is a general coordination between the forces of Afghanistan, and it is improved. In fact, there are more ways, more certain ways of making sure that there are better security in Afghanistan. There are already, after the conference, after the London conference, you will see for yourself that there would be more coordinated activities in this regard. The other issue I wanted to say, and I've always repeated it, is that the more attacks is carried out by the insurgents, in fact, the less it is possible that we go away from our aim, which is security and peace. So the aim of those attacks are, in fact, to try to distance between us and peace, and also to put question under question, to put question basically the national unity government. But they have to know that neither we are going to distance ourselves from our peace, nor the government support will decrease. So the challenges that exist in terms of security in Afghanistan, we have studied them properly, and our forces have the capabilities to defend our land. Also, in the past 5,000 years of history that we have, this is the first time in the 5,000 years, this is the first time we have asked the foreign forces to come and defend us. This is not our tradition. This is not what we do. You, in future, you will see that the people of Afghanistan, all the people of Afghanistan from every walk of life, they are going to be united together, and they are going to defend the land that we have inherited, and they are going to deliver this land to the future generation. Thank you.
First, from NATO Secretary General. NATO military mission is about to close. Meanwhile, violence is increasing in these days. And ANSF need more support, and like airstrike, heavy weapons. If there are a need for NATO military operations, will NATO join back in military operations side by side with ANSF? My second question.
I think it's one question.
Yes. Yes. Misha Kemek,
The rescue support mission is a non-combat mission, but we really assess the situation in a way that we believe that this is the right thing to do. After more than 13 years of military presence in Afghanistan, we believe that we now have reached a point where it's the right thing to do to end the ISAF mission and then to open a new chapter. And I would like to underline that that doesn't mean that NATO is leaving Afghanistan. We will still be there. We'll be there with the rescue support mission. But in addition, we will continue to support the Afghan National Security Forces financially with funds. And thirdly, we are also now starting the work with a task force to look into what the content of the enduring partnership can be, because we are actually working with Afghanistan in three ways: with the resource support, with the financial support for the Afghan National Forces, and then with the enduring partnership. We have just started to develop that partnership. The resource support mission is a non-combat mission. The United States is, of course, an important part of the rescue support mission, but in addition, the United States have some other forces who are taking the who are responsible for counterterrorism operations in Afghanistan. And I know that there has been some dialogue between the United States and Afghanistan related to what kind of enablers and additional support that can be provided by the United States. But I leave that to the United States and Afghanistan to sort out.
National Public Radio.
Carrie Schultz with NPR and CBS. Mr. President, with the high-profile attacks, as my colleague mentioned, aren't you concerned that because the Taliban are now attacking so much more intensively inside Kabul, attacking foreign aid workers, having gotten inside Camp Bastion, aren't you worried that this doesn't portray what won't give investors confidence as you head into donors' confidence as you head into London? Do you really think that your armed forces are ready for the combat mission to end? What can you do to convince people that your government is ready, that your cabinet creation powers are ready, and that your armed forces can really protect your people and the foreign aid workers who are going to still be in the country? Thanks.
Well, thank you. First, countries that are 10 to 100 times wealthier than us and better armed have not been able to prevent acts of terror within their capitals or major cities. So the measure has to be comparative. You cannot have an absolute measure. Could you have prevented 9/11 from occurring? We need to be understanding what kind of world we are living with people who have such debased values that they will attack children on a volleyball playing field and civilians. For every attack that takes place, our forces have been able to prevent tens, if not hundreds. But we've inherited a situation that is complex, and our focus is to ensure that the vicious circle ends. We're not dealing with investors in London. We're dealing, I think it was how you spoke, but it's a misframing. It is our international, we are seeking on the side investors, but our fundamental approach today in London is with our partners, countries. These countries are making commitments on the basis of a well-articulated program that focuses on accountability, on transparency, on rule of law, given the environment that we deal with. If you look at Malaysia, if you look at Singapore, if you look at South Korea, they all experienced conditions similar to us in 1950s and 60s. They were able to overcome them with determined leadership, with a clear sense of vision, and with pragmatic approaches. That's what we intend to do. Had the job not been difficult, I would have not run for it. The task is challenging. The challenges are great, but we have no other options but to take the situation in hand and we deal with them. Are our armed forces ready? Our armed forces are all volunteers. There's not a single person with our armed forces who's compelled to be there. And they're renewing their enlistment for the third and fourth time. That should speak to our spirit, and I hope that we will be able to bring the leadership management changes within our security forces that would make it even more compelling for our soldiers and our policemen and women to sacrifice. Just one last, you know, we've had examples where a police, unarmed or very lightly armed, have literally embraced a suicide bomber, sacrificing their lives in order to ensure that civilians are spared. With that spirit, you can count on us to continue.
We have time for one last very quick question from Kilid Radio.
I would like Mr. Secretary to answer my question. How does NATO intend to support effort to promote stability in the region? Thank you.
Stability?
Yes.
In the region.
Afghanistan and the region.
First of all, I would like to agree with what President Ghani said, and that is that threats are also interlinked in our world today, and we see that in this region. And therefore, there can be no stability in the region without stability and peace in Afghanistan. So our efforts to try to create stability and peace in Afghanistan is also an effort to contribute to peace and stability in the whole region. So everything we do in Afghanistan also affects the stability of the whole region. Second, I would like to commend the president and the new government for their very active outreach and approach to the whole region. His visits to Afghanistan, his active policy and diplomacy towards many other countries, I think that's key for creating stability in the region. So I very much welcome and support the efforts by the Afghan government and the president to approach the whole region in the efforts to create stability both in Afghanistan and in the region.
Thank you very much indeed. Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.